This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. Good morning. I'm David First. New Yorkers had their say in their party primaries on Thursday. On one hand, there were no huge surprises. Governor Cuomo won big. New York City public advocate Tish James will be the Democratic nominee for attorney general. But turnout was more than double what it was for the last gubernatorial primary, and the progressive wing of the party showed some muscle, changing the face of the state Senate by ousting six members of the former independent Democratic Conference. Here now to sift through the results and discuss what they mean for the November elections, including Democrats' efforts to take control of the House of Representatives, is WNYC State House reporter Fred Mogul and our Washington correspondent John O'Connor joining us via Skype. Welcome once again to This Week in Politics.
Hi, David.
Hi, David. How are you?
So, Fred, Governor Cuomo won big, but six former IDC members lost their primary races, including the former conference leader, Senator Jeff Klein. He was beaten by attorney Alessandra Biaggi. Klein can still run in the general election in November, since he's also running as the nominee for the Independence Party. But the message from voters seemed very clear here. What was your takeaway?
We knew that all of these IDC members were vulnerable. We expected maybe a few of them to topple. I don't know that anyone would have predicted six out of eight to go. Some of them really were relatively long shots. There's a non-IDC race that we haven't talked about, a seventh capture of a veteran seat. Martin DeLon in Brooklyn fell to Julia Salazar. So this is all about very left-wing energy, very liberal, very single-payer healthcare energy, very new generation energy. And it will just be really interesting to see how that transforms the Democratic Party moving forward in both the short and the long run.
John, what are the New York results telling the Democratic Party nationally?
Well, when you look at the turnout numbers, obviously, that is probably the first thing that national Democrats will take away from the primary results. That those turnout numbers are fantastic. It is what Democrats nationally have been seeing throughout this primary season, that the number of people coming out to vote in Democratic primaries is up in a big way. And they think that bodes very well for November. I spoke with the head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC, which oversees the Democrats' congressional House races. And he mentioned that during the briefing this week. In general, they're seeing good trends among the polling that bode well for results in November for Democrats.
On the one hand, it's amazing. It's outstanding. It's increased 250% and in some areas 300%. This brings us all the way to a 25% turnout.
So it was so small to begin with.
It was around 10% before, so we should keep that in mind. That being said, it is the largest turnout for a non-presidential primary. In many districts, you had 95% of the turnout that you did in 2016 for a presidential primary. So by those yardsticks, it's really quite something to behold.
John, do the results in these New York state races change the calculus in the race for control of the House any?
Probably not. Not in general. Democrats need to win races in the Northeast. They need to win, flip some seats that are controlled by Republicans in New Jersey and New York, you know, and elsewhere in the Northeast. And so that doesn't really change much for them. They want to play and to win in a lot of New York districts. As things look right now, there's really just two Republican held seats that are really competitive. You have John Faso in New York 19, that's the upper Hudson River Valley district. And then you also have Claudia Tenney, kind of a Binghamton area district. And they're the two most vulnerable Republicans, clearly. Then you have a handful of other districts that Democrats think they should be able to compete in. But as things stand right now, they look fairly secure for Republicans. And that includes New York 11, which is Staten Island, New York 1, which is out on Long Island, and then a couple of districts up near Syracuse.
And what about President Trump, John? How big a factor will he be in these congressional races?
Midterm elections are almost always about the president, and that the party in control of the White House almost always pays a price in terms of losing seats during congressional elections. But Ben Ray Lujan, who is chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, he thinks that Democrats can run and win without ever mentioning Trump. They just need to talk about what Republicans are trying to do in Congress, passing the tax cut bill that he says will hurt families in New York, especially trying to repeal and replace health care, get rid of protections for pre-existing conditions. And so he feels like Democrats don't even need to talk about Trump. But we do know from polling that voters are very much thinking about Trump and that they're not happy with the president right now, particularly Democrats and independent voters. And they are very, very much looking forward to voting this fall is what we're learning from the polls.
Well, Fred, how about it? Governor Cuomo and Tish James both made Trump a big issue in their campaigns. How will New York Republicans respond?
I mean, I think, you know, New York Republicans are a little more lukewarm on President Trump than many Republicans in other parts of the country. But that's not uniform across New York State. I think we will see Governor Cuomo run very, very hard against President Trump, as we have seen throughout the primary season. Earlier on, he was not mentioning Trump by name. He abandoned that principle a long time ago. He's going to try to make Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, his Republican opponent, seem like the second coming of Donald Trump, to the extent he engages Molinaro at all, but he will be talking about Trump extensively. And we will also see whether he will take that message into the congressional districts, into the state Senate districts. He has promised to do a lot of stumping for those other legislative candidates, state and federal legislative candidates. He's said that before. He's had an excuse that he's been busy to some extent with his own primary and with governing the state. We'll see whether he delivers on it in the coming months.
John, taking into account the large sections of the state that are majority Republican, is there any bright side for the state GOP in the results this week, or are they destined to be swallowed up in this year's supposed blue tide?
Yeah, the results aren't good, but if there is one thing to take away, it's the fact that during this Democratic primary season, Democrats have had to move to the left on some issues, and that will give Republicans a line of attack during a general election. For instance, if you take Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, her upset defeat of Joe Crowley instantly made her a flashpoint for Republicans. They have constantly been going after her positions since she won the primary. Some of these state Senate and state House races, you'll probably have a similar effect with Republicans being able to open up a line of attack there.
And in the state Senate, I mean, in any event, you would have the Republicans saying, hey, do you really want to hand all of the reins of government to the Democrats? They clearly control the state assembly and have forever. They have a good chance of winning the governor's office. Do you want to give them that? And do you want to give them the state Senate too? And on top of that, we're not just talking about any Democrats. It's this new, increasingly left-leaning breed of, you know, fire-breathing socialists that they'll be using to motivate their people to get to the polls.
WNYC State House reporter Fred Mogul and WNYC's Washington correspondent John O'Connor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.